Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm trusting in you. Lord, you know my heart, and I just want to edify and build up. We do thank you for the provision you made. Everything good, every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So I just pray that you would direct my thoughts and inspire, Lord Jesus, as you see fit, as I seek to edify and build up. Thank you for your great love for us, that you gave yourself to redeem us. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Just pray again, Lord, for healing for Keith. Be with Shell, minister to her, Lord, too. Take away all fear, anxiety. Take it away, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Lord, and we are trusting in you, Jesus. So again, just be with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So he texted me, Keith texted me last night and just said, hey, are you prepared, or would you prepare a little bit something in case I can't make it? He was still hoping he could. So I said, I'll be in prayer about it. So a little bit later, I got to thinking about some verses that had impressed me earlier this week. And so we're going to start with those verses. It's in Titus 2. Two different verses that kind of stood out to me and just kind of caught my attention. We'll start with that, and then just my thoughts as they went from there over some other things that happened this week. And okay, we'll read from verse 1 down to 5. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It just gripped me that the word of God can be blasphemed by the way the lady lives or not lives. It can bring shame to the name of God, to the word. So let me read another verse. And this is I'm not, you women getting nervous. I'm not talking to women this morning. This is just, it's like, but it still gripped me. Let me read Timothy 5:14. Timothy 5:14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I start off with these verses because these verses were telling me we can live our life that would bring reproach, or that can cause the enemy, or can cause the word of God to be blasphemed. And how much more if a man of God, or not, I don't even want to call him a man of God, but if a man that is, the person I'm thinking of is Steve Lawson, I don't know. He was a popular preacher, and he was caught 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago with a 5-year affair. And I'm like, that hurts me. How much how much shame does that bring? If just a woman living her life not quite, you know, what it says here can bring reproach. What reproach, what shame if a pastor of a big church that has much influence is found with a 5-year affair? That is very, it didn't bother me as much as it did when later I talked to a young pastor that was familiar with the ministry and that has respected him and knew him, and it really I don't know if I should say shook him. I would say it was serious, and so that's true. It does. We don't know how much, but yet in my world from over here, I think I'm rubbing shoulders with a young man of God that is shocking, to say the least, and then this past that was 6 weeks ago or so when we met, 5 weeks ago, when I heard this from my young friend, and I heard his prayer request the other night, and he is fighting anxiety, something that has not been with him for a long, long, long time. Why anxiety? I don't know, is it connected or not, but why, with all the scriptures we have of the freedom we have from sin, the freedom we have in Christ, why is this still happening? Colossians 2:11, let's turn there. So I'm grieved this morning. For the result of the devastation that happens, that can happen, because it does. Colossians, let me. So I want to just, Colossians 2, verse 11. Let me read earlier, verse 9. For in him dwelleth, no, let me go earlier than that. We have time, let's start at the beginning of the chapter. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. I can't read. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So we received him by faith, in faith, and now keep walking in that. Rooted and built up and established in the faith. There's faith again. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. When you have faith in the Word of God and what God has said, if His Word is greater than all doubts and fears, then you can be you can abound in thanksgiving. You can thank the Lord, because the end, you see the end. Amen?
Now, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I'm sorry, but this is happening. I don't want to go too much. I'm not going to really touch on that, but this is happening. For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in Jesus. He is okay. We have everything we need. Now, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So here is a supernatural thing that's happened. It's a circumcision made without hands in the putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a miracle that happens when we live in faith into what God, Jesus Christ, has done for us. Period. We don't work for it. It is done. We believe it. And there is a miracle that happens. I'm serious. And so my heart goes out to these people that are struggling in sin, but they were spoiled. That's the word. They were spoiled. And not spoiled in how we think it, but we spoiled. I crept in the camp and I made their powder wet. And now it doesn't fire. They're spoiled. Buried with him in baptism. This is just reminding us of other scriptures. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. What? Through faith. But you got to believe it. Through faith of the operation of God. God did an operation, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and trust, in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So, with this truth here that we have, why the besetting sin, why the strongholds, why the lust for the old? Colossians 3:3 is a verse I have memorized. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." This is the talking about our old man being dead. We are allowed to believe that. Even those that are young believers are allowed to stand on God's word. Even if it's not happening in their life, we are allowed to take God at his word and stand on it. That's what the children of Israel failed to do, is stand on the word of God. God said, I'm going to take you. I'm going there every time. But they didn't believe because their circumstance, their reality was not what the word of God was. So they took that more real than the word of God. But we have these verses tucked in all throughout the scriptures. This morning I have only a few, but God has set it up to where the faith person taps into it, not the intellectual man that has to have everything, has to be it's not scientific, it's not. It is faith in his word. He set it up that way. I'm sorry. And he makes that clear in Romans, I forget. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know that. That's a popular scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So why didn't they? Why are they not all? Why didn't they? That's not an honest question to ask us. And that's why let me read earlier. Let me go back up to 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. This verse here just kind of opened up to me just a couple months ago. I'm like, what? Sure, we understand what he's saying about Jesus. You know, he's gone. We don't know him after the flesh anymore. But he said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You are brothers in Christ, okay? You're brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're born of the Spirit. Henceforth, he's saying, we know no man after the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man, look what he's saying, in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. It's done. Jesus did it. When he said it is finished, hallelujah. He hath given us now the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So that's why we are burdened. That's why we are praying for others to come to know Jesus that are not right with God. Because he's given us that commission. He's given us that heart even. If we're born of God, we automatically have that desire, that heart. But how about this verse in Corinthians 10:13? I'll just read it. I wrote it down on my paper. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That sounds pretty hopeful. Sounds pretty positive that there is a way. God, Jesus made a way. 1 John 5:3, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I'm not sure. I think we heard what was in the world. The quarter, did you read that this morning? What was in the world? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It says faith is what overcomes all those things. I have to think of Luke 22. Like I said, these things, I just jotted them down as they came to me. Luke 22. This scripture here came to me as I was doing prison ministry down in Alabama, and I was talking to two other young people that were there doing ministry, and they were really pushing how faith is just gift from God. It's whatever he's given us, we have, and no more. And of course, there's a verse that says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if we don't read the word, we don't know, we can't have faith, because it comes by hearing the word. But anyway, here in Luke 22, let me read 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. So Peter at this moment, it's before he's really converted, really born again, really it is. But he says, I'm ready not only to die a nasty death, suffer today and die, but I'm going to prison too. 10 years, whatever. I'm willing. That's his commitment. That's his sold outness. But just back up to, I pray for thee that the faith fail not. For years, I thought, well, Peter, you denied him. You did. Your faith did fail. But the bigger picture here is that what the enemy wanted, I believe, is that the condemnation. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. How you were so strong. You made your commitment to Jesus. And now you failed. You denied him not only once, but three times. Now the next morning, wouldn't there be a temptation to just pull the trigger? Just give up? Or to shoot yourself? Or like, you know, Simon? I mean, but I see Jesus' prayer that he prayed for him, that his faith wouldn't fail him. He kept on. And then he was able to strengthen his brethren. Once he, you know, he was mightily used of God. But anyway, I want to read that. That's a blessing to me. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Read a little bit there. We'll just start reading in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So in this life, this includes everything. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So if we have knowledge of what Jesus did, we can have grace and peace, and it's multiplied, and it's also, it keeps going, whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So verse 4 says that we've been given great promises that we might be partakers of God's nature. I know I've touched on this verse before, but if a man is in this, what Steve was found in for 5 years, then the fruit of that, you know, we see an apple tree, we can call it an apple tree. I just hate to even talk about it. But yet many are affected. Many are affected, and that's what's sad. In closing, I want to read chapter 3. Just turn the page. I'm going to read this whole chapter. Probably won't say too much. The last couple of verses on the chapter were jumping out at me the last couple of weeks. So 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things as they were from the beginning, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons should we be in all holy conversations and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of day of the Lord, a day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. I guess they wrestle with it. They do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, knowing these things before, beware, okay, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now verse 18. But grow in grace, I like that, and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. So grow in grace. No, I hadn't written this down, but that reminds me of these verses here about grace. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's to us that are born of, we're the seed of Abraham, we're born of God, we're faith, seed of Abraham because of faith, or born of God. Not that only which is of the law, but that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So there we see that faith accesses grace. Our trust, our believing in his word. Chapter 5, verse 2 says, for in who, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. So there's no boasting. There's no boasting in this. It's given to us. This grace is given to us as we believe him. Simple trust and believe in what he said. And we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as things look out of control, and some people's hearts are they're very fearful, and anxiety is a real thing. Our hope is in the Word. Our security is in Jesus. And we can have peace and joy through it all. We can. There's provision made. So may we walk circumspectly. May we adorn the gospel of God. There's an old hymn we used to sing this. Are you adorning the gospel? Are our lives, you know, confirming what God has done, or are they causing people to blaspheme? Are they causing people to say, well, if that's what Christians are, I don't want anything to do with it. So that's kind of my, that was really my burden, and I hope that God can use that to edify or build up in some way.